Namaste and welcome to the fourth episode of Med Talks. Thank you for your love and support for this podcast. I'm extremely excited and equally privileged to talk about health and medicine in general. In our second episode, we talked about do's and don'ts regarding coronavirus. Today, we are talking about perspective of a health worker. To do so, I've invited a special guest with us today, who is also my dear friend. He's a medical officer who has been dealing with COVID-19 on the front line. He works in Bandipur Hospital. He's also the acting medical superintendent. He's also running 15-bedded isolation ward and quarantine. So let's welcome Dr. Manish Shrestha. Hi, welcome to the podcast.
So first of all, thank you for inviting me to your podcast. I really appreciate it. And I'm doing great, by the way. So how are you?
I'm also doing great. Despite your busy schedule, thank you for coming to this podcast.
It's always my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Manish, I've invited you to talk about COVID-19 from a perspective of a health worker. So, can you just explain me the situation of COVID-19 at your place and your district in general?
So, for now, I would say that we're just holding on. And we are running 15-bedded isolation wards and we are running 2 quarantine facilities for COVID-19. As far as I remember, the first case of COVID-19 in Bandipur was diagnosed 2 months back. What happened was we did the PCR of the people of the quarantine that came from India and some of our hospital staff as well, just for screening, including the doctors. But unfortunately, 11 of the reports came out to be positive. That included one of the doctors as well. Following that, a contact tracing was done. Then again, the report showed that 7 of the hospital staff were positive. We then set up the isolation wards for them and started treating the COVID patients. So now we have 4 PCR positive patients in our isolation wards, and they are doing just fine. But the problem is we are out of masks and the PPE, the personal protection equipment. This hospital is under the local government. It's tough, but I guess it's right to say we're just holding on for now. How is your situation there, Sogat?
To talk about Kathmandu, I think the situation is getting worse. And the place where I'm working, I think we have not yet admitted any corona cases right now, but we have some isolation wards which are prepared if any such cases appear. So despite the rising cases, our hospital has been doing fine, but the 3 major hospitals which are looking after the corona, they are like Patan Hospital, the Sukraj Hospital and the Army Hospital. They are doing excellent job here in Kathmandu despite the increasing cases. So I think we are looking forward to increasing number of cases and we are prepared here. So I wanted to talk about this PPE. So is the PPE standard at your facility?
It's basically very hard to define standard per se. So what I would like to say is just let me take you back 4 months. 4 months back in Chaitra, when the first case of COVID was diagnosed in Nepal, at that time I was in Bandipur, and we were so scared. We were so scared that I used to wear the OT gowns, the OT cap, and the mask, and wear double gloves and look at the patient. At that time, I think there were 2 or 3 cases maximum. So we just contact authority and they provided we asked for the PPE and what they gave us was raincoats. So at that time, at least we were happy that we have something to cover, right? It's better than the OT gowns. So all of our staff, we have 37 of the total staff here, we got raincoats, and slowly as the cases just progressed, that changed into what we call the reusable PPE. I don't know the material, but I think it's plastic. It's just washable and you can reuse it again. But the thing with the PPA is that so the management thinks that if we give the PPE once, it's over. So, like, the job is done. But actually, we have to use it again and we need new supplies, right? It's not a one thing job. So, it's hard to make them understand that we need continuous supply of masks, the PPE, the sanitizer for the frontline workers. So, we're dealing with this. And for now, when the cases of corona is maximum in the community, we are actually in shortage of masks and PPE right now. I do not have any PPE. Some of our staffs do have it. I just wear the masks, the gloves and the sanitizer. Hopefully we're going to get it this week. So let's hope for the best.
Well, I'm glad that you explained your situation here in the podcast. I don't know if it is the incompetency of the government or any other concerned authorities, but we as medical workers need to be provided with PPE and essential equipments to fight the corona, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, I was going to talk about the difference between your area and my area. So, in your area, the containment of COVID-19 might be easier, although the assistance and the medical equipments are rather difficult compared to the area in mine, in where containment is likely difficult, but treatment and assistant is likely easier. So what do you have to say about this?
So I would like to start with saying this. Here in Bandipur, we have for the last 2-3 months since we had the first case of COVID till now, I think roughly we have 20 to 30 are the corona positive patients, but none of them have any symptoms. They do not have any fever nor any difficulty breathing. So we are not as much scared now like as we should be. Depending, I think it's just that the strain is weak or something. So as we can see, all the corona patients are doing just fine. They are just normal like us. They are not facing any problems. So the lockdown does not just happen here, and they are just living their normal life. They are not using the mask actually. They do not use the mask. They only use the mask when they come to the hospital, just because they are scared. But outside in the community, there's just talk, the social events are going on. There are some of the tourists have actually come here for hiking and trekking. I saw them maybe yesterday or day before yesterday. So I don't know if what this can cause, but it's actually free. Like everything is totally free here.
I was going to talk about the lockdown. As you had said right now, I don't know what is the condition of the lockdown in your part, but here in Kathmandu, from today, we have started odd even rule. So I don't know if for how long it will hold, but I think this lockdown was indeed necessary again. What do you have to say about this?
I think the lockdown is the only thing we can do, right? So what we are doing in the lockdown is just we are just preventing the transmission of COVID in the community. Let me give you an example. Just suppose just suppose you are in your house, you and your family, and outside are zombies like you see in the movies. If you do not go out, you do not get killed. If you go out, they are gonna eat you, right? So if you stay in your house, you can survive this. So basically what lockdown does is there is virus in the community. So if you and your family just stay inside, do not go out, you do not get infected and you do not transmit the virus to others. So mainly in the places like Nepal, where we just cannot screen the mass population, the general population with PCR due to various circumstances, we have to impose the lockdown. There is no other way. But having said that, there are still many disadvantages too. So we know that the economy has taken a huge hit. All that, like last month, it was Asar, right? We had to pay our taxes. Mm-hmm. It was the closing time. So that was really hard for us. And the second thing is, like you discussed in your first two podcasts, there are depression and suicide cases on the rise. So I think we should take account those things as well.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with your points. So I was going to talk about this socioeconomic impact of this lockdown that is been going on, right? So our economy is completely based on the tourism and the remittance of the workers, right? There are many workers who are working outside the country who are not being able to come in our country due to this COVID crisis. Do you have any particular suggestion regarding what should be done?
So for now, I think we should all hold our grounds. Mm-hmm. I know it's a very difficult time. We all are going through a lot. This hasn't happened in, as far as I remember, since I was born or before, right? The last case, I think a major epidemic like hit us like this was the Spanish flu in 1918. It stayed for about 2 years, I guess, and it 50 million people died. So after this, I don't know if any major event has just happened till now, but we have no other choice. The economy is gonna take the hit, but we can do nothing. Mm-hmm. If one thing is like the US and the Western countries do, is they do PCR of the maximum number of cases, just detect them and just separate them from the normal population. But for now, I think we are not able to do even, I think, 10,000 daily or so, 7,000 to 8,000 max, I guess. So the population of Nepal is 1 million, and daily we do, if we do 7,000 to 8,000, let's say 10,000, then just you can do the math how long it is gonna take to do the PCR of everyone. So it's the only thing we can do, and just hold our grounds. And like you said, like the people who are dependent on the daily wages, who used to like go abroad for their income, they are going to take a hit. And I think the government is gonna do something. I don't know what or it has done or not. I think it has not done anything, like the Western countries who are giving the citizens some money, some compensation, just to stay home. So I guess they can come up with a plan for those who are actually in need of that.
Yeah, I completely agree with your point, Dr. Manish. Actually, the government is quite helpless right now. I think the priority is given to the worsening condition of corona rather than the socioeconomic impact. Right, the economy can be recovered, but the pandemic cannot be recovered, right? So right now the government is completely focusing on corona, so that may be the situation right now. So now what will be our next step to like tackle this situation? How will health worker and the other community members, or let's say the government, might have to act in such a way that we'll move past this situation? Do you have any comment on that?
So we need the government support. It's a very it's a very, very crucial step in managing all this. But more than that, the thing is, each of us needs to be responsible. That's the main thing which is lacking. Like be it in Kathmandu, Pokhara, maybe so like be it in Bandipur, the main issue with us is that we are careless and we are irresponsible. So guilty as charged, but it's the truth. We cannot stop going to the restaurants. We can't stop visiting friends and families, playing futsal, and even posting photos in Facebook. Shout out to Mr. Khaki Man. And we gather in social events, many more. Like, you know what I'm talking, right? So we know we shouldn't do it, but we just do it. It's just like smoking. Like, we know it can kill us, but we do it anyway. it's easy to blame the government, right? It's very easy, but we have to
Yeah.
take the responsibility of ourselves as well. It's actually not so hard. Do not go out of your house except it's an emergency or you cannot work from home. Wear masks at all times, especially in the public areas and hospitals. Just sanitize your hands on a regular basis. So these are the basic things we fail to follow. And I don't know, maybe I don't think it's due to lack of awareness, because there are social media, the YouTube. We all know what we should do, but we fail to do all those things. So to successfully just face the situation, we need to address these points very, very seriously.
Exactly. We know what to do, but we are not responsible for our actions, right? So as you told, that people should be held responsible for the things that they do, and I've seen in many places like supermarket, at restaurants, they have like screening, and they do have sanitizers, but those are just for the sake of showing off, I think. what do you think about this? I mean, people who are asymptomatic, right? Those people don't have a running temperature, and in such places I have seen, like, despite using those screening procedures, people are still not following the procedure about social distancing. So I'm not saying that those things are bad, but those things are bad in a way such that people are not following the things that the WHO or the health organization have recommended. What do we have to say about this?
So for that, I would like to share an experience when I was in Kathmandu, I think a month back. So I went to a shopping center, one of the famous ones. So they did screen me. They had the gloves on. They just checked my temperature. I had to sanitize my hands and get in. And it was very clearly written: maintain a 3-meter social distance. Right, we all can see that, we all can understand that, but inside, I guess it was like a fish market. I think they thought it's like 30 centimeters or something. They were so close, and everyone was like, but the thing is, everyone was like with their masks and everything, but it's not enough, right? So I think, like, everyone has to work, they have to run their business. But the people who are going there know how harmful it can be. But I guess we can do nothing about it. We have to eat, we have to shop. So I think till the vaccine comes out, we all are helpless, especially in Nepal. See, the cases in Birganj are going so rapidly. Last Thursday, day before, I think, it was last Thursday, 5 people died on a single day. So if this trend continues, we have 28 million people, like I said, and I don't think we have more than 300 to 500 ventilators all over Nepal, the functioning one. So in them, even 1% of the people get very ill, not one, maybe 0.00001% of the people also get very seriously ill and need ventilators. I think it's going to be chaos. It's going to be damn chaos. So I guess we just are waiting for a good vaccine to come up, and it should be cheap as well. Then there's no point in Nepal if it comes out to be very expensive. I guess some of the 150 countries or so are just in a they are in a group of COVAX or something, right?
So our country is very poor, and we have a very limited health resources. People get ill, then we don't have such facility and resources to like manage them. So all we can do is impose a lockdown and educate people about the importance of social distancing, about the importance of staying home. We can just hope for the best. The vaccine will be distributed as soon as the beginning of the next year, more in the developing countries in relatively cheaper prices. So do you have any idea about this, Dr. Manish?
Well, just this morning I was just surfing the net, and there was a post, I think it's, I don't know the source, but it said that the vaccines, I guess it's in China. China is the main leader doing all this in I think in Dubai or Abu Dhabi. It is in phase 3, I guess, and they, if uh-huh. it all comes out to be successful, they are planning for 2 billion or so vaccines at once. So if we are lucky and they can get it out in maybe 1 or 2 months, then I think we're going to be doing good. But if it takes maybe 1 year, 2 years, so the death toll is going to go very high, very, very high.
So let's hope for the best that the vaccine comes out sooner than later. And hopefully we can all return back to our normal routine. And we don't have to be extra careful regarding this condition. So thank you, Dr. Manish, for your gracious time. Hope we can again meet in our next podcast, if possible. So how was your experience today during this podcast?
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was a great experience. It's my first podcast.
You did a great job.
Many podcasts. Yeah. you're being very kind. So
no, you did a great job. Yeah.
I'm hoping you would just invite me maybe in the near future. So thank you so much for the opportunity to spread the message.
So yeah, hopefully our audience who are listening to us have a better idea about the health situation in our country and the struggle that the health worker has to go through during this COVID crisis. And hope they will spread this message to the concerned authorities so that we health workers don't have to struggle during this crisis. So thank you, Dr. Manish. Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you too, man. Thank you.